Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Today's the third edition. It's our weekly segment, Heisman Hump Day. And I can't say enough about it. Each Wednesday until the Heisman Trophy is presented on December 11th, we're going to have a Heisman winner on the Scott Hamilton Show to discuss winning that trophy, the most iconic individual award in sports. It's easily the biggest. In my estimation, there's nothing even close to it. I'm a Heisman Trophy voter, have been for a long time. There's so much history and nostalgia tied to the award. Everything that's good about college football is tethered to the Heisman Trophy, even though there are still flaws. The majority of the electorate don't take it as seriously as they should. And a defensive player has yet to win. And there might be a West or an East Coast bias. But still, you think of the Heisman Trophy, you think of really, really cool times, man. Awesome. And today we're joined by the third Heisman Trophy winner in Nebraska history. He did so by setting 32 school records. He's one of three quarterbacks in history to rush for at least 3,000 yards, pass for at least 4,000. He was the 13th to have 1,000 rushing, 1,000 passing in the same season. And here's where it gets really good. Twice the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. Won the Davey O'Brien Award, the Walter Camp Award. His jersey's retired in Lincoln. Last year, he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And then, of course, he won the most iconic individual award in sports, the Heisman Trophy. And, oh, by the way, the cover of NCAA College Football 2K3, for my generation, that's the peak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm a Heisman guy, but when you get on the cover of a video game, that's the summit. Joining us now on the Say Tama Hotline, 2001 Heisman Trophy winner Eric Crouch. Eric, good morning.
Good morning. I kind of agree with you on that video cover there of a game. That's cool.
Man, tell me, what's it? I mean, I've spoken to guys, and I had teammates in school and everything, and they went on to be in the NFL, and they were able to play themselves on video games. But what's it like to go to a GameStop or wherever back in the day, and there you are staring yourself in the face?
You know, it's surreal. You know, I kind of grew up in a time where, you know, video games were just, well, I mean, I remember playing the Atari and Tecmo Bowl and yeah. Nintendo. So, I mean, we have gatherings of friends and tournaments. And so it was actually pretty cool for me because, you know, I did enjoy playing football on video games. So I was kind of just a football junkie. So when I saw that, I was really excited. I actually took a trip out. I think it was Northern California. I think Santa Clara, somewhere in there where they hooked all these electrodes up to my body, and they kind of got my movements. So it was my body in the video game making those movements, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah, I've seen that done with those suits. How long did that process take?
It took a better part of probably the full day. We did, you know, a lot of different things, you know, as far as body movements and hooking you up to things. And I can't remember if I did voice recordings or not, but there are just, you know, a lot of things that happened, and it was just neat, you know, to see that industry and how things work and technology and, you know, being involved and just, you know, seeing yourself on a game, and you really think, well, gosh, that's me moving, you know, in the game. That's pretty neat.
And that came out after you finished your time at Nebraska, right?
That's correct.
So, see, and I wanted to get your take on this, Eric. Think about what you could have made it if it had come out while you were in school through name, image, likeness. You could have gotten paid for that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I know. I just, I guess, you know, I don't think about it a ton because it wasn't like part of, I mean, I look back and I think, man, I maybe could have made some money, but I felt pretty good with the way it worked out for me. I mean, you know, I had a great time playing football in Nebraska, got an education. So I was pretty happy with that. You know, I worked, I had my first child in college, man. So I was a working guy and, you know, trying to play football and go to school. So I was kind of burning it at both ends.
How did that help you once you stopped playing, once you decided that you weren't going to pursue a professional career any longer and it was time to go, I guess, yeah. I hate to say into the adult world, but you're already in the adult
sure.
world, but into the real world.
Yep. A lot. I mean, I was, you know, I had the work ethic. And, you know, I woke up early and I got going, and I didn't, you know, get sidetracked with a lot of other things that it's easy to get sidetracked. I'm not saying that, you know, that was anything special, but I know guys can, you know, get sidetracked with many, many different things. And, you know, one of them is just not being, you know, held accountable for your schedule, you know, time management, things like that. So I actually bought a business when I was 24. I was still playing football, still wanted to play football, but bought a business. And, you know, when you buy a business, you're busy. There's a lot of things you got to learn, and you're just, you know, your daily routine is revolving around family, business, and sports. And it was still that way as a professional. But then when I, you know, when football was over, it was like, wow, okay, more time to the business. And, you know, it was like the transition was pretty smooth for me.
You know, Eric, I'm fascinated by this because here's a guy, you won what I consider to be the best trophy in the world. I mean, what I would have given to have had an opportunity, the skills and all that, to have won the Heisman. You won that, but it sounds to me like you've got that sitting on a shelf in a back room and you're up front with a laptop trying to figure out your profits and losses for the next week.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You pretty much hit the hammer on the nail on the, with the hammer, and it, you know, it's I guess I don't really sit down and think too much about like what I did in the past. I'm kind of moving forward with our business and thinking about how we, you know, get creative to help our customers, how we get creative in making our work environment for our employees better. You know, how we can be more efficient with internal, you know, logistical things. And we got a lot of moving parts with our company. And so, you know, there's no like wasted time. I don't find myself sitting around going, dang, you know, this is, I got an extra couple hours here. Let's just, let's reminisce. But, there are times because I get interviewed and I get asked throughout the day. I mean, to be quite honest, it's rare that a day goes by without, you know, the word Heisman Trophy being brought up. So it's part of my life and who I am. And I'm very proud of that award. To have it for Nebraska, my family, myself. I mean, it's very, very cool. It's unique. It's an awesome honor.
Is there a downside to it, to being a Heisman Trophy winner?
You know, I haven't found one yet. I mean, I guess the downside you could say is, you know, your life is a little bit more, you know, in the bubble or the fishbowl, or, you know, people are, you know, looking at you a little bit more for what you've done. And so it's kind of like with my kids, I guess the downside is that, like, you know, my kids have had to live that life of, hey, are you, you know, it's not them. It's, hey, you're so-and-so, you know, is your dad so-and-so, you know, Eric. And they kind of feel like a little bit get lost on who they are because people kind of focus a little bit on me. And so, you know, we've had to have these internal, you know, not internal, but these family conversations, and my kids have done really, really good with it. And I probably sheltered them a little bit because I don't really sit back and talk too much about maybe someday when we're, you know, all adults, but like just the experience, I guess, the things that we went through, they're starting to ask me more. My kids are older. I got a 22 and a 17-year-old, so they're asking more and more now as they're kind of getting older about, you know, my experiences and things that happened. But, you know, as they grew up, you know, especially my son, it was always, hey, are you as fast as your dad? Are you going to be a quarterback? Are you playing at Nebraska? And so there is that pressure for your family that I wish wasn't there.
I've wondered this, Eric, and you had an incredible set of skills and you were in the perfect system for your skills and you're playing for your home team and all that. And it was just like synergy. It was incredible how everything aligned for you. How would Eric Crouch have done somewhere else? Was there another school that maybe you considered, or was it always going to be Nebraska? And how much do you credit your success to just being in the right place at the right time with the right people?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I did have unbelievable supporting coaches, family. I mean, yes, I was raised in Nebraska. I ran, 40 times a game option football in high school. So was I prepared to go run option football at Nebraska? You bet I was. I was ready. And that's why I was able to, you know, start 8 games and play in 11, you know, when I was a redshirt freshman. I just had that opportunity, and it worked out for me. I was ready for it. There are times where I think about having a better professional career, you know, as a pro. I don't think Nebraska got me ready as a quarterback. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, run an option and handing it off to, you know, big tailbacks. I mean, it's IBAC University, you know. Typically our quarterbacks, just, you know, being that option threat, just didn't get a lot of work reading defenses, throwing the football, dropping back in the pocket, checking out blitzes, and being prepared for that. So that's where I struggled, you know, professionally. And so, you know, I guess if I would have went to – I was recruited by Notre Dame, Ohio State. Like, if I would have went to Ohio State, I probably would have been a receiver there. I don't think I would have been a quarterback. But then if I had 4 years as a receiver, maybe sitting in the slot, could I have gone to the NFL? Oh, wait, I did get drafted as a receiver, you know? Like, maybe I would have been better prepared for a receiver career in the NFL. So I think about that a little bit, but not much. I really, really wanted to be a quarterback. And quite frankly, Nebraska was the only place that said, we want you as a quarterback, let's go. And so that made my decision pretty easy.
Now, were you recruited by Tom Osborne?
Yes.
That in and of itself had to be incredible, because I know he retired, I guess, after your freshman year?
He did. Yeah, I redshirted my freshman year. So 97, I was my first actual, you know, year with the program. I did redshirt that year. Tom Osborne did retire that year. Here's a funny story. You'll get a kick out of this one. So I'm recruited by Notre Dame, Ohio State, Nebraska. All three of those coaches, the very next year, Lou Holtz retires. John Cooper's fired from Ohio State, and Tom Osborne says he's retiring. So any one of those schools I would have picked would have been, you know, their coach would have left and had a new system.
Oh, man. We're joined by Eric Crouch, Heisman winner, harbinger of doom for coaches. You can follow him on Twitter at Crouch Eric. you know, think about the club you're with. I mean, regardless of how your pro career turned out, and oh, by the way, it's natural for you, and I don't have to play therapist for you, but it's natural for you to maybe think about the possibility of having a better pro career, because that's just your natural competitive nature. You can't help but to want to always do better. So, yeah, I totally get that. But think about the club you're in. There are only a few dozen Heisman Trophy winners ever. And, I mean, I'm wondering, what does your contacts list look like? Can you pull out your phone and then you're texting? You know, obviously you're going to text Johnny Rogers, but are you shooting Brown? Are you, hey, Bo Jackson, what's up? You know, stuff like that. Just talk about what it's like to be in that club.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's very select and unique. Everybody that I've had a chance to meet over the 20 years now that I've been a Heisman winner, everybody's different. You know, I've got some great relationships with some of the Heisman winners. There's some that I haven't met still, you know, things like that. But I have met many of them, guys that I just idolize as, you know, growing up watching, you know, Barry Sanders and Vinny Testaverde. And I mean, some of these guys, you know, I idolize all these guys because I want to be able to put myself, you know, in a high level of thinking and playing. But I never, you know, woke up during my childhood or even at Nebraska and says, like, gosh, I really need or want a Heisman Trophy. It was always like the need and want for me was just to go out and win, compete, you know, drive your legs harder to get that touchdown or first down when you're on the goal line, or make that game-winning throw, make the last-second pitch for a big play. Like, just put your team in a position that at the end of the day, you know, you can throw up a W on the board. I mean, that was really, you know, how I was driven, really around practice and training and just trying to get better every day. So it just kind of worked out for me.
Under normal circumstances, and also consider this, you're one of the elder statesmen now. It's been 20 years of the Heisman Trophy Club.
Yeah, I'm up. Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you go to the presentation under normal circumstances pre-COVID?
Yes. I mean, there was a couple that I missed. I was, you know, playing in the CFL. I had a couple surgeries that bad timing, just couldn't make it. But I think there's, gosh, I want to say out of the 20 years, I'd say less than five I haven't made. So I really try to get back. I love, being able to, give the new winner a high five and a hug and say, welcome to the club. And just, I had such a great experience for me that those guys that were standing behind me, the day that I was, given that trophy, I just, it's a really cool feeling, and to be around there and be there for them, I think is really unique. And I just want to do that. So I come back as much as I can and try to make the experience as best I can for the new winner.
Where do you keep your Heisman Trophy?
The case they gave it to me in, I keep it pretty protected. I rarely, take it anywhere or bring it out. I'd say it maybe goes out once a year, and I take it out for Johnny Rogers has an event here locally for the Jet Award, which is, the Return Specialist of the Year. And, I bring that out. Mike Rozier shows up. We got all three trophies, and we're having, tons of picture opportunities at this event in Omaha, which is a really cool deal. So, Johnny Rogers Foundation also promotes tech schools and, getting into keeping kids in college and things like that for scholarships. So it's a great reason to bring it out.
Is that something that you've found that comes along with winning the award, that you really have to be involved with philanthropy? I know you have a business, you have a pretty successful business by everything I can tell, but have you started your own foundation or adopted a cause that you're spending a lot of extra time with?
Oh, I mean, there's, I never really thought about it as a way like I had to. It's almost like I want to help. There's several foundations around here that I'm, I would say heavily involved in. Nebraska Greats Foundation, which is a foundation that's pretty unique to the state of Nebraska. So we've got 16 colleges here, and we help with the former athletes' medical and emergency needs, so that they feel like, after sports, kind of they're left, hanging, and sometimes they need some help with medical emergency needs. That's what that foundation's about. I'm on that board. And also we started a youth program here in Omaha, Nebraska, that we kind of grassroots started it. We've grown it to, over 4,000 or 5,000 kids now, and it's a big organization. It's called Elkhorn Athletic Association. So, and I'm on that board as well. So, between those two things and all the other, programs that will reach out to me, for an appearance or, just memorabilia to sign to raise a little bit of money or awareness for their cause, I would say there's over 50 of those that happen a year.
Wow.
With less than 10 that I'm kind of involved with, and then probably less than 3 that I'm heavily involved with. But, yeah, I mean, you just try to do as much as you can for people and their causes, because they're, most of them that I'm involved with go for a really good cause. I mean, there's so many people and groups out there that need your help.
And Eric, my last question for you, and this is maybe the most serious question I'll ask you. I know you've been involved with the Heisman House commercials, but when do we get more of you and less of Baker Mayfield? That guy's already got enough commercials. I want more Eric Crouch.
There's a lot of Baker out there. Shoot, I just realized that. Every time I turn on the TV, it's Baker, Baker, Baker. He's doing well. I really like Baker, and he's done a nice job. I don't, to be honest, I don't think I've ever been asked to be on a Heisman House commercial. So, someday I hopefully I get that opportunity. It seems like those guys have fun, and it'd be a lot of fun to spend a couple of days with those guys shooting the commercials and, just coming up with ideas and all the personalities. I can imagine that, it's a really good atmosphere. So, someday it'll happen. Maybe they've got to figure out some type of a script that revolves around a quarterback who really never threw the football, but all we did is run. So we'll see if that can ever happen.
Thanksgiving dinner, Bo Jackson asks you to pass the potatoes and you pitch it.
That's right.
I just came
Absolutely.
Up with that. Oh, Eric, I'm on the phone, man. I'll make that call for you right
and
now.
Pitch, and maybe just, you pitch it and maybe it hits him in the face or something and it just like everybody just starts laughing.
All of a sudden the Husker's in the corner and he hangs his head.
Bo, I don't think Bo would really like that one.
He was an All-American. He's a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, won the 2001 Heisman Trophy. You can follow him on Twitter at Crouch Eric. Eric, buddy, it has been an absolute pleasure, and I had a heck of a lot of fun. I hope we can get you back on sometime.
Absolutely. I had a lot of fun. You guys got my number, so call me anytime.
You got it, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care. You bet.
It's Eric Crouch, 2001 Heisman Trophy winner. Goal, life goal, Eric Crouch in a commercial passing potatoes to Bo Jackson.
Directed by Scott Hamilton.
Directed by me, man. I've already choreographed that whole thing. I've outlined.